LEX18 presents a podcast with hot takes, hot topics, with your hosts, Megan Mannering and Evelyn Schultz. This is Hot Mike.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Hot Mike. It's a lovey-dovey episode because this is coming out before Valentine's Day.
It's our special, our first Valentine's Day episode ever. We've never gotten to celebrate Valentine's Day on Hot Mike here before, so I'm glad to be with you before the day of love, and we have a very... We always say this every week.
I know. I feel like I'm seeing double, though.
Yes. It's my sister is our guest on this week's episode of Hot Mike, Audrey Lorraine. She is Zooming
Hi,
with
Audrey.
Us from Indianapolis, where she lives.
Hey, guys.
Audrey, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Hot Mike.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm so excited. This is my first podcast appearance ever. So.
Wow. Okay, but how does it feel knowing that your dad got an invite to be on Hot Mike before you did? Was that kind of a slap in the face?
I know. No, because I honestly never expected to even be invited. But yeah, his podcast episode was it was really good. I was impressed with him and obviously the topic that you guys discussed. So
yeah,
you might be wondering, why is your sister on Hot Mike?
We are not talking about Amelia Earhart.
No, we're not. We're pivoting to a different topic that Audrey knows a lot about because it's her side hustle. And I thought, who better than to come on before Valentine's Day, because she is a dating coach. That's her part-time job. She has a full-time job. She works for UKG, doing sort of like what is your role? Your main job.
I'm a solution consultant. So I do tech product consulting, essentially. Talent tech products.
Ooh. Side hustle though, very different. She's a dating coach for a
usually when I tell people my day job, their eyes glaze over, and then I say, but my side hustle is a dating coach, and they're like, oh, cool. What do you do? Like, yeah.
It's not something that you hear every day. How did you get into the world of dating coaching?
Yeah. Great question. So, I think I majored in communication in undergrad. So I always had a passion about connection and relationships and, you know, obviously just communicating with people and how to be successful in that. And then on top of that, I was in a very long-term relationship, for about 6 years where I became almost obsessed with figuring out how to win this person over, or why we weren't working, or why some of the things I did were like appealing to him. So it kind of came from like a toxic relationship, my obsession with this. I just was always researching it, always reading about relationships and how to have success. And, eventually during COVID, I was quarantined because I was exposed to COVID at one point. And I was researching jobs. I was always kind of doing different side hustles. So I was always obsessed with like finding my next gig. And I came upon an ad for a company that's based out in San Francisco to do social media work for them. And from there, I started working with our clients. I started out actually doing mock dates for our company, MLoves. So I would go on virtual dates where we mock up a first date experience. And then I give the guys feedback back on the conversation, their presentation, how they escalated the date, maybe how they flirted, what we talked about. And then I give them feedback that they're not going to get from a regular woman they're going on a date with in real life. So that's where I started. And then from there, now I help welcome new students into our community with the coaching program. And I work with students on conversation and also dating app profile setup. So those are just, some of the things we work on in the program. And we have a whole team of experts that work on a variety of things, such as a stylist. We have a celebrity stylist who helps students revamp their wardrobe if they need help in that area. We have some people who work with like escalation and confidence coaching. And then we have a therapist on the team to help with anxiety that you might come across when you're dating. Lots of things, even more people than that. But we all like to help people essentially with this skill that's very tough. Everyone can use help with dating and relationships.
It's something everyone can relate to, right? Even if you're married or happily in a relationship, I think everyone knows the struggle of navigating that dating world. And I, obviously, our viewers and Megan, you've only been exposed to Audrey mm-hmm. for 10 minutes now, but growing up with her, I would say this is the perfect job for
really?
Her. Yes, because she always will, as a kid, she always said she was really into decoding body language. That was like her.
Yes, she said, I became obsessed.
I don't know what even age you were, but even from a young age, she was like, I am a body language expert.
And I got the body language for dummies book from the library.
That's hilarious.
And sometimes she would use it against us, kind of, you know, like tell us what our body language was saying.
Decoding
and you'd say, no, that's not what's happening. But yeah, and I feel like, Audrey, you're a romantic. So you also, you know, you really believe in the best in people and in finding love. So yeah, it's a good gig for her.
This is fascinating. Okay, Audrey, do you feel like this world of coaching within the dating realm, do you think it's grown since the pandemic? Like, has that changed the game?
Yeah, great question. I think our society as a whole is really moving into like this mindset where life coaching, dating coaching, you know, like even like coaches that you would hire at like mm-hmm. a gym or something. I think that's becoming more and more popular now and people are more comfortable. Like there's not as much of a stigma around getting help with things, like even therapy, like more people are gravitating mm-hmm. towards that. So yeah, I think maybe since the pandemic, it's grown more. I think when I got into it, there was a couple popular dating coaches that I knew of at the time. Matthew Hussey is a really popular one. He's like, you know, one of my faves. Mm-hmm. Some people may know of him. But then, yeah, I think, you know, I'm always listening to dating podcasts and stuff. There's always coaches popping up here and there. So yeah, I think it's definitely grown in the last few years. And with the rise of dating apps, it's kind of a thing that it just opens up so many more questions for people. So everyone is wanting to know more and there's a big need for it for sure.
Yeah. Dating apps.
That's what I was going to ask. What do you hear from people that their biggest complaint about the apps is?
Ooh, I think with guys, their biggest complaint is that they're not getting anywhere. Like they're maybe matching with women, and they're not able to produce anything out of even a match. That's like they might have a brief conversation, a brief interaction, and then the girl drops off the app. So that's probably what I hear about the most. And then obviously like the basic need that a lot of people struggle with is like getting matches in general. Some people just need to work on their profile and tweak a couple things and then that will improve tremendously. So
yeah. What's your advice for people when they're building that profile so that they can still stay true to themselves, but also like put their best foot forward? What are some tips?
Yeah. So I think honestly, something that I even kind of minimized in my own life that I think was crucial in like me finding my current partner, is kind of staying true to yourself and being very specific on your profile about niche interests that you have. So almost like polarizing. For example, on my profile, I tagged gospel music and FM radio, things that are like so niche, but it's going to stand out to someone. And if they can relate to like those things that you're drawing out about yourself, there's like a good chance that you guys could connect on kind of those quirky things, which is a good foundation for kind of a fun connection there. So yeah, that's important is obviously being true to yourself and drawing out those kind of special qualities about yourself and special interests. And then also just, I guess, kind of showing like a good well-rounded aspect of or kind of well-rounded presence of who you are. So for example, like you don't want all of your photos to just be you by yourself. You want a photo where maybe your friends are around you or, you know, you want a photo of you doing one of your hobbies, not just you like smiling in the car, like a mirror selfie. I always say no. If a guy's photo, if a guy's app is full of like selfies of him by himself, he's going to look like a loner. He's going to look like he doesn't have any friends and it's hard for him to have connection or relationship. So, showing like different aspects of who you are throughout your profile is really important.
Is one selfie okay?
Yeah, for sure. Selfies are fine. You just don't want your profile to look like, like all you do is spend time by yourself and you don't have any friends.
Didn't you also, told me before too, that like animals do well on profiles, right? Is that true?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, the animal lover photo is key because it shows people that you have a caring side to yourself and that you know, you're safe to be around. So we want to show like,
wow,
you know, a level of safety through the profile as well. And Emily, like there's the concept of the 6 photo archetypes. So there's 6 photos that we recommend having on your profile. There's the classic headshot, which is just like a really high quality, good headshot where you can see your face clearly. And it helps to add almost like a professional, you know, side of yourself. There's the hobby shot that I mentioned. So that's you doing something unique. We don't want it to be a hobby that like everyone does. We want it to be a hobby that's true to you. So maybe like scuba diving or rock climbing, things like that. And then there's the social proof photo. So that just shows that you can be around people and that everyone is having a good time. You want people smiling in the photo and you smiling. There's the GQ photo, which is you in a suit. And that's kind of, you know, like to increase your, attraction. And also again, like that professional aspect.
Okay.
And, oh, the full body shot. That's important just to show a woman like what you're bringing to the table.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are some of them. I don't know if I mentioned all, but those are the photo archetypes.
It makes sense. Like you don't want to judge a book by its cover, but you also don't want to walk into a date not knowing who you're meeting. I mean, do you ever run into that with clients? Like they'll go on a date and say like, wait a minute, you don't look anything like what you did on the profile.
Totally. Yeah. The like almost like a catfishing experience. Actually, I was just talking to my boyfriend about this. He said that he had so many dates where he would go on and the girl looked nothing like her profile photos. And so he was making a comment that like, I actually looked somewhat like my pictures. And I did not Facetune or do any like, oh, I had edits on my photos, you know, like a good filter here and there that can show some artistic style, but you don't want to Facetune yourself or present yourself in an untrue way, because then when you get to the date, you know, it's not even necessarily that you might not be as attractive as your photos, but it just feels inauthentic and kind of scary to someone who's meeting you. And they're like, that's not who I thought, you know, this is not what I thought you, who I thought you were. So
interesting. There's a lot of psychology
behind
dating, which Audrey's not a psychologist, but she's learned a lot about
how
people think. I also do really quickly want to bring up, Audrey mentioned her boyfriend, Trevor. He's a low-key kind of guy. He doesn't like a ton of attention, so I don't want to embarrass him too much, but I have to give him a shout-out because from the very beginning, he has been a loyal Hot Mic listener.
Oh my gosh! Trevor, thank you!
He is very sweet, and we got to get him a mug because...
From the very beginning. And that should just be a note to any of our single listeners. You should add to your profile that you listen to Hot Mic. That is niche and it is interesting.
There you go. There, you can find a fellow Hot Mic lover.
And it indicates that you are safe. You are a safe person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
That's a good thing too.
Definitely.
If you're willing to listen to, you know, women and their opinions on things, that's kind of a green flag, right?
I love that.
That is a green flag. Okay. I'm curious, for the person that goes into a date and right from the get-go, they realize this is not my person. How do you approach the rest of the date when you know this ain't it?
Yeah. Ooh, I dealt with that in my own experience. I think you always obviously want to be respectful. If it's a first date, you can keep it at an hour tops. Like, you don't have to stay for, you know, a long time with the person. About at least, you know, having a conversation with them and just, like, getting to know them, I would recommend, like, leaning into it and just treat it as if, like, you're talking to a friend for that hour if you know instantly that it's not going to work. And then, you know, leave the date and at the end of the day, at least, like, you know, you met someone, you learned something about yourself and maybe something that is not, you know, the type of person you want to pursue. You would learn something about maybe what you're looking for in the future and what not to do. I actually went on a date where I did have that experience and I realized, okay, this is not the person for me, but I had already agreed to a second date with him.
Oh,
so
whoa.
The first date wasn't so bad. I went to a Pacers game for the second date with him.
Oh, that's
fun. That ended up going very wrong because essentially my instincts from the first date were true in that he's just kind of a complicated person that was not compatible with me. So yeah, I would trust your gut when you're on a first date and things aren't going, maybe the way that you were hoping for, but I wouldn't write the person off or, you know, shun them, because at the end of the day, the date is just a trial and error. It's like you're putting yourself out there to meet someone to see if it works. And if it doesn't, like there's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with a date not going well. You just got to lean into it and have fun with it. And I think people a lot of times think of dating as so stressful and scary and kind of roll their eyes or like huff and puff when they have a date coming up. But if you just think about it as meeting someone and not putting so much pressure on it, I think it leads you to more success and a more open mind.
Hmm. Audrey, how many, can you estimate maybe how many people you've helped play a role in them finding a partner?
Ooh.
Like, how often do you get feedback?
That you helped
someone, you know, find the right person for them.
It's hard because I don't have control of like the data. I'm sure we have data on that with the company.
And there's a big team working with people.
There's a big team. When our clients do find success, they do report it typically. Sometimes it takes them a few months, but we have a community and a platform that people will give us updates on. So they'll say like, hey guys, you might have not heard from me in a couple months, but you know, me and Ashley are working out. Like I asked her to be my girlfriend last week and things are going well. So, it's always super exciting and fun when I think about, you know, the work I was doing with someone individually, and now that they're like happy and they've met their goal, it's a good feeling.
Oh, what a rewarding job. Yes. Yeah. This is a perfect Valentine's Day episode.
It is.
I have so many questions, but I'm just like fascinated by your job and your expertise. I'm curious, with the clients or the students that you work with, when it comes to the actual dating, not the profile, but the dating,
yeah.
Is there one thing that clients do that you're like, stop doing that. Don't do that. Like you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Oh, yes. There's actually a few things. I would say one thing that came up for me very recently with a client is the lack of follow-up questions on a date. Ooh. So when a girl is talking about something that she's really excited and passionate about on a date, you don't want to, first of all, like lead the question into you talking about your own passions and your own interests. You want to keep the conversation on her and what makes her face light up. So asking follow-up questions to keep her going rather than always bringing the conversation back to you. That's really important. Cause then she'll leave the date feeling refreshed. If she was able to talk about like all the things she loves for the majority of the date, she's going to leave feeling really happy and not even consciously think about the fact that you were just getting her to talk about things she enjoys for a lot of the date. So that's something. Another thing guys do, like being overly complimentary of a woman's physical characteristics early on like a first date, that can come off as jumping the gun a little bit. If you haven't laid the groundwork for a good physical or like emotional connection, sometimes being like over complimentary of looks can be a little bit like scary to a woman. So I recommend complimenting her personality or something she says or does. Like if she talks about how she likes to ski, you might say like, ooh, that's really impressive that you can ski. Or you might say that something she does is like really attractive or something like that, rather than saying, wow, like you look really beautiful today. That can just come off as a little bit jarring, especially when you're first connecting with someone. You don't want her to think that you're only interested in her for physical traits. Those are two things. And then another thing, talking the majority of the date. That's a big red flag. I've had guys do that in person, like for my own experiences. And they think they're showing themselves off. So they're trying to impress you by talking about their job or how much money they make or, you know, all the fun things they do, but it's really just coming off as uninterested in learning about you on the date. So.
Wow.
Stuff to take to heart.
I know. This is like unlocking all of these memories that I had buried from
different dates,
from
first
the
dates.
App dating when I moved here to Kentucky.
Well, and I think people, Audrey, correct me if I'm wrong. I think a lot of people don't even know that they're doing this, and it's not ill-intended. It's not people trying to step all over a conversation and only talk about themselves. But maybe people, like any skill, they just need to practice dating and conversing with others. Do you find that it's a skill people need to work at?
Oh, yeah, 100%. One of the things we practice in the program is approaches. So where you would approach a woman in public, we don't encourage all of our students to only focus on online dating, although it is a really great way to open the door for connection and relationships. But being able to converse with women in person and spark up a conversation with a woman you see at a grocery store or a coffee shop, that's a skill and it does take a lot of practice. So the first couple times you do it, it might fall flat. You might walk away like after tripping over your words and feel really defeated, but that's why you got to keep going. You got to push yourself in that area and know that it's just, yeah, it's a skill you're building. It's something you're working on. And the more you do it, the smoother you get, the more confident you feel. And it's like that rejection. There's that guy, I forget his name, but he went on that rejection, basically, it was an experiment where he was like seeking rejection. So he would ask people like on the street for money or ask at Starbucks for like a free coffee. And the more you face that rejection, the more you're going to be ready for it and the more confident you'll feel even in the face of it in the future. So
you realize someone just said no, right?
Yeah. It's reminding me of what in journalism, we have what's called man on the street interviews.
It's kind of the same thing.
It's the same thing. But you have to like go up to people, strangers, in public and see if they'll do interviews. And like 9 times out of 10, they'll say no. But at this point,
it gets easier.
It gets better. And now I'm like, oh, reject me all day. I don't care.
That is still better than having to ask someone on a date. That seems very challenging.
Holy cow. And dating can be discouraging. I hear that from a lot of my college girls. And, you know, like you do put yourself out there and you have to be vulnerable. Audrey, I mean, do you have any motivation for people who feel like they're not getting anywhere, even though they are putting themselves out there?
Yeah, I think I would say that everyone who's in a relationship now can think back to a time where it didn't work out with someone that they were hoping it to work out with. So you almost have to just look beyond like your current struggle. And I honestly like to think about it. I mean, when I was dating, I started trying to encourage myself to almost like laugh at the things that didn't work out, that, you know, that were maybe like really ridiculous things that happened on dates, or if a guy was mean to me, like I kind of learned to just realize that like, okay, this is just a fun experience. And once you actually get into a relationship and you meet your goal of finding your person, it's not like at that point, everything is just butterflies and rainbows and it's easy. Like there's still going to be work that happens after that point. So enjoy the experience of dating and meeting different people. It's exciting and it's fun. And, you only get really like, if you find your person and you stay with them, dating doesn't last forever. So enjoy the ride while you can.
That's good advice. Audrey, going back to Trevor, what made you and Trevor started dating last year. You met almost a year ago, I think. What about him made you think, I want him to be my boyfriend?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I think I was always, I was kind of a skeptic with love. I actually was thinking about this in preparing for the podcast today. It took me a while, like in dating after my toxic relationship ended, I was kind of a skeptic. And then I was like, I need to start taking the advice that we're giving our students and have more of an open mind. So I think with Trevor, it's so funny because I know he's going to be listening to this.
He's going to be embarrassed, maybe.
I think with him, we had a lot of similarities in terms of like our interests. There was stuff on his profile that I related to. We both had the same song on our profiles. And then once we got in person, it was just super comfortable. Like our conversation was really easy. I remember feeling like, okay, this is a guy who's actually normal. And
that goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. But everyone's normal is going to be different. So like a lot of the guys I dated in the past, another girl is going to think that about them at some point. But with Trevor, like I just felt comfortable and calm. And yeah, I remember feeling the date, like leaving the date very at ease. So yeah, I think that was a big sign for me.
It's all relative. What's normal?
Well, and Audrey, you bring up a good point. There's someone for everyone, right? Like, I know some people maybe think like, I'm never going to find the right person, but they have to be out there, you know, if you just keep working at it. And maybe that person wasn't right for you, but the next person will be.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think you have to remember, do you want to end up with just anyone, or do you want to end up with someone who really is truly a good match for you? If you're just looking for anyone, you could find someone walking down the street today and, you know, you could start a relationship and lead a, you know, maybe a happy life, whatever. But if you really want to find the person who truly fulfills you, it's going to take work to get there.
Gotta put the work in.
Yeah. Audrey, do you believe in soulmates? I think we disagree on this.
Yeah, I think we do disagree. Actually, I don't know. I've moved a little bit with this. I think there's people who are placed in your life for a reason. I guess I do. Again, I'm a hopeless romantic, but you don't, right?
Well, yeah, I guess my thought, I'm going to sound so mean. My thought has always been, you know, with marriage or choosing to spend your life with someone long term, you have to work at it no matter what, even if you and the person are madly in love, it still takes a lot of work and effort. And so, and you can do that with different people, right? Like you could theoretically do that with a lot of different people. So I guess I think you summed it up well, Audrey. You said there are people placed in your life for a reason, but you can also, you can choose what you make of that relationship, right? You can put in the effort, or not. What do you believe in soulmates, Megan?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about
We're putting
this,
her on the spot.
But Audrey, I agree with the idea. People are placed into your life at the right time for the right reason. But, you know, my parents have been married for over 40 years and looking at their marriage, I mean, yeah, like they align on all of the really important stuff and are really hard workers and like made that commitment that they're not going to give up.
Yeah.
And I think that piece is like more important than the soulmate piece. You know, like,
I agree
with
what
you're saying.
Yeah. Like you could be, and obviously Audrey probably can attest to this with the dating coaching. Attraction does matter, but over the course of your life, you're not always going to be super young and hot. Like that's going to change too
for yourself.
I mean, hopefully we will be, but, that also changes over time too, right? So it really is about those shared values and, what you can connect on over the course of your life, which isn't just looks related.
And you guys bring up a huge point, finding someone with shared values. Like it increases the chance of of success with that person so much more. So it's good to be honest up front about how you're feeling about, you know, religion, politics, your thoughts about like kids is really important and like how you want, if you want a family one day, it's good to be honest about that up front so that if you do disagree, you guys can learn to navigate those things together. And then, you know, rather than dating for 5 years and then finding you guys are different on something that's really core to who you are.
Yeah. So. Is there a good time to bring up those topics? Like, are we talking about politics and religion on date one or should we pump the brakes a little bit?
Oh, that's a good question. I think you almost have to feel out someone's level of comfort in discussing those things. I honestly am a very open, transparent person. So I talk about that stuff very early on. A lot of stuff is like on my social media that might point people in the direction of those things. So I think it's fine. It's really just kind of up to someone on how open they want to be. But I would encourage like at least before you actually start dating that you obviously know those things about each other.
Good advice. This is great advice.
I know. I think we have to have a recurring segment with Audrey because I think that she could share some advice that helps people.
I want to like hook you up with some of my girls that are in the trenches of dating.
We offer coaching for women now. So I work with the men, but we do have a women's program and we also have a relationships program as well for people who find love and then they want just, you know, help navigating that.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Do you work with all ages?
Yes. Yeah, we do. So, yeah, anyone who like at any stage of life who is looking to kind of get help in the area. And I think a big part of our program that I know Thomas and Emily, the owners of MLoves, really love is the community aspect. As I kind of mentioned before, everyone is kind of in this together. So you don't feel like you're on an island going on dates with no one to talk to about them. You can lean on, you know, the knowledge of other people also going through the program and give each other your own thoughts and opinions. Or like maybe one guy has a really bad experience and then another guy is like, the same thing happened to me last week. They can kind of just like lean on each other for support with the hard things that come up. So
that has to make people feel better too. Like I'm not alone with this terrible date that someone else has experienced that as well.
Have you ever been on a really bad date, Abby?
Yes. It wasn't quite, I'm sure Audrey has heard this story, but when I moved out to Montana, I almost feel bad sharing it, but he'll never hear this podcast. I was very lonely initially when I moved out there because I didn't know anyone and I just graduated from college. So I downloaded and it was really, and I wasn't dating my now husband at the time. So I was single and, but I downloaded, Tinder because I was like, maybe I can even make some friends. I might not find a boyfriend through this app, but maybe I'll make some friends. And I matched with a guy who actually lived at my apartment complex.
Risky.
Yes. But I, easy enough to pick me up for a date. So sure. we went on the first date was fine, except for the fact that I paid for everything. So like we went and got pizza and I paid for the bill. Like we didn't even split it. I just covered it. And then this, like a week later, he asked if I wanted to come watch Remember the Titans at his apartment.
Romantic.
I love that movie. Audrey knows. Remember the Titans is my all-time favorite movie. And there were a lot of weird things about the date, but maybe the weirdest part was he really wanted to show me his Pokemon tattoo on his belly. And after that, there were like a few other things that were kind of off-putting, or very off-putting. And I had bought, this is so pitiful. I had baked potatoes to bring for us to eat. I was like, I have baked potatoes in the oven, so I'll just bring them over. And he like weirded me out so much that I remember like walking home with my thing of baked potatoes. I gotta get out of here.
Wow.
So that was, not to get too into it, but that was probably like my weirdest date.
Not the Pokemon tattoo on the belly.
And I have nothing against tattoos. Like my husband has tattoos. I have tattoos. But Audrey and I have a sister tattoo with our other sisters, but it was just wanting to, the insistence on showing me, you know? Mm-hmm. So Audrey, maybe that's, should people not show off their belly tattoos like right away?
So that's kind of, I'm thinking that if a girl was really into Pokemon, she would be like so excited about that.
That is a good point.
I think that raises an interesting question though about non-negotiables, because I think there are some people that are like, I would never date someone that has tattoos or doesn't have tattoos, or I would never date, whatever, you know,
All sorts of things.
Yeah. Is that like setting you up for failure when you have that mindset?
There are things that you need to set that you will not move on for sure. Like, non-negotiables, basically items that you're not going to settle down without. It's good because it sets your intention and it also makes sure that you're clear on who you're looking for and that you're clear on what's important to you. So I think it's good to have those, but it's also important to have an open mind. So if you are, you know, not budging on any of your like qualities that you're looking for in a partner, it is closing you off to potentially match with people. Like, for example, if you're swiping on dating apps and you're only going for guys that are over 6 feet, right? You're closing yourself off to so many great people out there that you could really get along with. So I think things like that, you gotta open your mind up a little bit. And I think people who do have an open mind have so much more success than those who are very rigid on what they're looking for.
Okay. I have another question. They're coming to me. My friends in Chicago always say dating in Chicago is terrible. And then, you know, maybe I have friends in Washington, D.C. Oh, dating in D.C. is awful. And I'm like, okay, you're living in some of the largest cities. I've heard this from friends in all these different cities. Like, what do you think about that? Are there certain cities that are worse than others for dating? It feels
definitely crazy.
Really?
It does feel crazy. We find that there's actually two cities that are very hard for guys tend to be that I think of off the top of my head, and that's Portland and Tampa.
What?
For some reason, a lot of our clients, we find that it can be really hard. Like the dating pools in Tampa, even on the apps, people struggle with. So we've even encouraged some students to move cities. If they are,
really?
we've had students who have moved cities and then they have success. With like
so
they're opening themselves up to a new pool of people. And like, for example, one of our sisters lives in Columbus, Indiana, a small town. So many people in the U.S. live in small towns. Mm-hmm. If you live in like an area where there's not a lot of people, maybe of your age group that are single, obviously you're shutting yourself off to matches unless your dating range is like really wide on the apps or unless you're like traveling and meeting people through activities and hobbies that you're pursuing. So, But Chicago's funny because I don't know. Chicago has, I think even like the cold of Chicago keeps people inside and like
everyone's bundled up.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
It's
I don't know.
It's hot
culture.
And romantic when you're sure. Wearing a floor length parka.
Nothing hot about that. Audrey, do you watch like The Bachelor or any dating shows? Love is Blind, any of that stuff?
Yes. I love those shows. I'm super excited for the new Bachelor season.
Me too.
Or Bachelorette, I guess.
I think you guys just found a new bestie to watch with.
I know. Okay, yeah. Wait. How are you feeling about Taylor Frankie Paul? Do you think it's going to be a good season?
I think it's going to be a really entertaining season because she's so open about everything on her show. So I don't think she's going to hold anything back. And I think we're going to see a lot of drama and yeah, we'll see what the group of guys is.
I don't think they've released the cast yet, but I also think it'll be entertaining and she's an interesting person and presents a question about quote unquote baggage. Like she's been married before. She has children with multiple partners.
All of that has been aired out.
Yeah.
On television, right?
Yeah. So I guess if you are heading into the dating scene, if you are like Taylor, the new Bachelorette, and you have this baggage or maybe you have a history, is that something that you should like address right up front?
Well, yeah, you don't want anything in your life to seem like you're keeping it as a secret. So like if you have kids, not that, you know, obviously kids aren't baggage, but if you have like big aspects of your life that impact the way you are today, like you want to be honest because that's just like, it makes up who you are. So you don't want to hide anything. I think with her, the struggle is going to be finding a guy through the show that's actually genuinely interested in her and not all of the fame and kind of celebrity status that she brings into it. Cause most of the time the Bachelor cat or the Bachelor contestants, the Bachelor and Bachelorette, they're not famous through another show. So I think it's going to be hard for her to find like a genuine connection through the cast unless they all are they're vetted already, but hopefully they're there for the right reasons, which is what they always say. They're for the right reasons.
Here for the right reasons. I know. And I think she said in an interview, she was like, my future partner would have to be comfortable with being on TikTok, which is funny. This is the age we're living in.
Non-negotiable. Related to TikTok.
Because that's part of her career, you know, she's a TikToker.
Major part of her life. Wow. Audrey, also, you bring up The Bachelor and other media related to dating. Audrey always loved Hitch, and now she's kind of like the real life.
Oh, wow.
She's a real life Hitch.
I love Hitch. Yeah, but apparently every girl says their favorite movie is Hitch.
Well, mine is Remember the Titans, so.
Wow. I don't think I have a favorite movie like off the top of my head.
Have you? You've seen Hitch though, obviously, right?
Yeah. And Remember the Titans, which is a great film.
Both of those are good movies. Yeah, that is interesting. But Audrey's living out her real life.
Hitch.
Audrey, we do have some dating hot takes we want to give you. We might have covered some of these in our conversation, but we're going to say agree. You could agree or disagree, okay? And we'll go back and forth. You want me to read the first one, Megan?
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is a polarizing topic. Men should always pay on the first date.
Disagree. Sorry, there are so many nuances. I would say disagree.
You disagree though. So it depends on the situation.
I think a man should offer to pay. The first date should be no more than $20. So the guy should be offering to pay. But if a woman doesn't feel comfortable with that, you know, a guy can let her buy like something on the date if she insists.
So if a woman says, no, I would like to pay half, he should go ahead and let her do that.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. That sometimes that comes up as like a non-negotiable for guys. I will say some guys literally will not accept a woman paying for them. So again, you got to stay true to who you are. But I think as a man, you should offer to pay. And you'll find the level of comfort with the both of you in the
conversation. That's a good rule of thumb, though. Mm-hmm. Like $20 cap for the first date.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. Dating apps have made dating worse. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Elaborate.
The dating apps truly open up your opportunities so much. If you're not on the apps, you're just really limiting the number of people who you could meet. And I think it's kind of foolish to not be on the apps. That's what I eventually thought for myself. I never wanted to meet a partner on the apps. And then I one day was just like, why would I be closing that door? Like who is out there that I could meet on these apps? And that's how I met my boyfriend. So.
Okay.
Well said. Okay. We hear this one a lot. If they wanted to, they would.
Ooh.
Agree or disagree?
If they wanted to, they would.
Agree.
Yeah. I think I agree with that too.
Yes.
And that just refers to if someone wanted to put an effort. It's sort of like that movie, He's Just Not That Into You, right?
Yeah.
Like, if someone is interested in you, they should be putting forth effort, letting you know that they care.
If he wanted to text you, he would. If he wanted to call you, he would.
Yeah. Which we've all been the person waiting
it's a
for.
Very relatable. Yeah. It's a very relatable saying. Yeah. And you don't want to believe it. But,
but maybe we found ourselves on the other side too, because I've been in scenarios where if I wanted to, I would be putting in more effort.
Absolutely.
Okay. Ooh, this is good.
Megan can relate to this.
Not currently, but dating coworkers is always a bad idea.
Ooh, disagree.
Why do you disagree?
Because I think a lot of people meet their significant others through work. I wouldn't because I work remotely. So like, I'm never
there's no one to meet.
That's also why I needed to be on the apps. I know of multiple people who have met their significant others through work. So as long as you're being, you know, responsible and honest and obviously talking to HR, whatever it entails, I don't think it's always a bad idea.
Well, and Audrey also has a master's in HR. So you can speak to that from a level of.
That's true.
You have some expertise in that.
That's like a forgotten thing. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think it's a bad idea. I encourage it from an HR perspective.
From an HR perspective. I like that. Well, that's good because there are some couples that
we have a couple who got married at LAX 18. Yeah. From meeting.
We have a couple, Christian and Murata.
A couple couples.
They're married.
Yeah.
Who else works here that's married?
Cameron and Claire.
Cameron and Claire.
I don't know off the top.
Hannah, anybody else?
I don't think so. I'm sure there have been other couples in the past, but right now that's all I can think of.
I don't know about anyone directly. Like, I know, are married, but they're not married from in here.
Oh, yeah.
Unless they're secretly dating.
Yeah.
Now would be the time to come go to forward. HR.
Come reveal
You're
it.
You're calling
on,
people out.
Reveal it on Hot Mic. Okay. Second to last one. A bad texter can still be a good partner.
Yes. True.
Okay.
A lot of guys are not great at texting. A lot of guys are just not really super open to, chatting as much as women are.
We love to chat.
We do.
Women love to chat. And, you know, sometimes you just got to accept the fact that your man may not be open to talking about the tea or the drama or venting about things in the same way that you are. And that's okay. That's why we have girlfriends. That's why we have siblings and moms and dads to vent to.
Audrey speaks with experience because she and I and our sisters and our mom FaceTime each other 5 times a day. Maybe
it's really bad.
It's really bad.
You know, Audrey, I felt so good the other day because Evie had called me twice in one day, which she doesn't normally do. And the next day she was like, I'm so sorry for calling, but it just means I consider you family because I'm calling you in the middle of the day.
Totally.
Wow.
That is what that means.
Yes. Okay. We have one last hot take. Exes can be friends.
Yes. I agree.
Okay.
I don't think it's a common thing, but if two people ended the relationship amicably, obviously they care about each other a lot and respect each other, I do think there's a possibility. I've seen this in real life. I think I actually kind of encourage it. I think I would have liked to be friends with more exes, to be honest, because I don't tend to harbor negative feelings towards people that I dated. Mm-hmm. So I would, I don't think it's a, I think if both people are open to it, yes.
Yeah. Well, you do put a lot of time into another person and getting to know their family and, forming a genuine care. Yeah. So it is kind of hard to just.
Mm-hmm. And barring something terrible, some huge betrayal.
Yeah.
You might to, sometimes it's just not the right time or.
this is your sign, listeners.
Go befriend that ex. You heard it here, and date someone at work. That's advice for you.
Great advice.
If you take one thing away from this episode of Hot Mic.
But always take it to HR.
Yeah, that's also, that's follow up with that.
Wow. This has been so interesting. Audrey, how are you feeling heading into Valentine's Day? Are you excited about it?
Oh, I'm super excited. This is my first Valentine's with a boyfriend. I know I had the long-term ex, but we were always so messy that this is my first one where I actually am have Valentine's Day planned. So I'm super excited.
And Trevor's thoughtful, so he'll probably do something really nice.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, he actually thinks this is a hot take. He thinks Valentine's Day is a woman's holiday. So guys shouldn't expect anything.
Women should be getting the gifts.
The guys shouldn't expect anything. They should only be doing stuff for their partner, which
Hold
is so
on to
interesting.
Him. That's excellent.
We like that.
What are you and Charlie doing?
That's actually a good question.
And cannoli.
Oh, yeah, really, it's cannoli who I celebrate on Valentine's Day. I do believe that a dog can be your soulmate. all that being said earlier. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not actually sure what we're doing. He's got to figure that out.
Yeah, it's
Audrey,
a woman's holiday.
Text Charlie and ask him what we're doing for Valentine's Day. What are you and Jacob doing?
Well, his birthday is February 10th, he always takes on. No, he rarely does. But we have a Valentine's tradition. We have breakfast for supper.
Oh, yummy.
So we stay in and make a big breakfast.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. I love that.
I need to come up with a tradition.
That's a good idea. I should come up with something.
Yeah. I think we did it the first year because we thought, everybody is going to be getting reservations and trying to go out. But we really like cooking together. Well, he likes cooking and I like just
eating.
Distracting him in the kitchen. Being the sous chef. Yeah. And so we thought, we'll just cook for ourselves. So.
How fun.
And that's romantic.
And that's what you get, right? When you put in the hard work of dating, eventually you find your partner you can have breakfast for supper with. That's what's at the end of the tunnel.
Poetic. Poetic. Audrey, any final words of wisdom for the lovely single people who might be listening to this?
Yeah, I would encourage everyone with Valentine's Day coming up to find something to do to celebrate yourself and your current relationships. So if that's, going for drinks with friends or maybe cooking dinner for yourself at home or doing something special, maybe a yoga class by yourself to really be in your own space and bring gratitude for yourself and, everything that you're doing in your own life. I think that's great. And just helps put you in that positive mindset. And yeah, I would just say stay grateful for everything and all the challenges that come your way, because you'll get to your goals eventually if you're putting in that work and staying in that positive mindset.
It's the perfect thing to end on.
How lucky are you to have an awesome sister like Audrey?
And Audrey and I, we used to be the sisters, I think, that fought the most growing
really?
Up. Don't you think, Audrey?
Totally. We didn't even get into that.
There's a lot more to get into.
We're both debaters.
We love to debate.
Wait, Audrey, where do you fall in the order?
The third.
Yeah. Okay. First and third.
Yes. So we're 4 years apart.
Yeah.
Heavy enough.
Perfect amount to really get into
butt
it.
Heads.
Definitely.
But it's funny how when you grow up and you get closer to your siblings because, you just, there's nothing to fight about at this point. But we do still fight.
You do.
Whenever the sisters get, it's like we become 10 years old again.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
When we're all together without our parents, that's when it comes out.
They're tears, yelling.
We need our parents to be there as the neutral party.
Yeah.
Audrey, really quickly too, before we let you go, if people are interested maybe in MLove service, if they want to find out more, where can they go to get more information?
Yeah, just Google MLoves and you'll be brought to the site. And then from there, you can read more about our offerings and our services. You can read about our coaches, and then you can actually book a call with someone on our team to discuss next steps to see if you might be interested. I would just encourage you to go to our website.
And that is EMLOVZ, right? EMLOVZ. Yeah.
Okay. I struggled to type that out the other day when we were researching.
Yes.
Okay. Audrey, Lorraine, thank you so much for joining us on Hot Mic.
Thank you guys. This was
an awesome episode.
Yeah, I learned a lot.
I did too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey.
Thanks for having me. I hope you guys have an awesome Valentine's Day.
You too.
Come back anytime.
Yes.
We should probably get the other sisters now. I know. The rest of your family to feel neglected.
We're just working through the whole family.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Audrey. Happy Valentine's Day. And thank you to our listeners. We hope that you have a happy Valentine's Day too. And we'll see you next time on Hot Mike.